we have been taking a look at 1 John. We have been looking at the first two chapters, and we're actually going to end the second chapter tonight. John was writing this letter to Christians at large, not a specific church or not to a specific person, but he's writing this to all Christians. And as we were taking a look at the end of chapter 1 and chapter 2, we were asking ourselves a question: do we really know God? Do we really know? Do I really and truly know the Lord? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for our time. Lord, I pray that you'll be with us tonight. The last time we'll meet together is in a church service as a church family for 2025. Lord, I know a lot of people are sick. Lord, I'm just thankful for the ones that are here tonight. And Lord, anytime we open your word, this is you speaking. So Lord, I pray that we would block out things that are going on, the work schedule, the family schedule, the ball games that are on, whatever the case may be. And Lord, let us focus in on some time with you. Lord, I pray that you will help us as we look at the end of this chapter 2. And Lord, help us to seek to know you more in 2026. Lord, I pray that you'll forgive me for my sins, Lord, and help me as I preach your word tonight. In your name, amen. If I can review briefly, test number one: do I keep God's commandments? These are all taken from the passage here. Do I keep God's commandments? We're trying to ask ourselves, do I really know God? You know, it's easy for us to deceive ourselves into thinking certain things about our walk with the Lord. It's easy for us to sometimes say, oh, well, I go to church and I grew up in a Christian home and I trusted Christ as my Savior, and by default, all of those things automatically convert to I'm really growing in my walk and I really know the Lord. And we've got to ask ourselves some of these questions to help us get out of our comfort zone and into a new unknown of drawing closer to the Lord. The first test we need to ask ourselves is, do I keep God's commandments? When I open the Bible and I see what God says, am I obedient to these things? And whenever we're in God's Word more and we see who God is and His character and His faithfulness and His desire to help us and the discipline that we may need, it helps us to understand, am I keeping God's commandments? Basically is saying, am I obedient to the Lord? The second thing we looked at is, do I love like Christ? Do I love like Christ? The third test is, am I growing in Christ? Fourth test is, do I love the world or the things of the world? That was a great question for us to take a look at. Last time, we looked at, do I guard against anything or anyone that is anti-Christ? Do I guard against anything or anyone that is anti-Christ? That is different than the other question, the previous question, do I love the world? Do I guard against the things of the world? It's one thing to love the world, because if I love the world, I'm not going to guard against it. So I have to, it's a twofold, two-way street. I've got to love God more than what the world offers and more than my sin nature. I've got to love Him more. So I need to be growing in that love. But then on the other side, am I guarding against the things of the world? And am I just flippantly allowing the world into my life, allowing things that are anti-Christ, anti-God into my life? Just different questions to ask. Look at verse 24 of chapter 2. We're going to look at this last question, and I think it is so fitting because it's the last time that we're together as a church family. And the question is, am I abiding in Christ? Am I abiding in Christ? Look at verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you. What is that? Pastor, we can't just start right there. What do you mean? Okay, look at the previous verse, verse 23. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you. which ye have heard from the beginning, if that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. In other words, John was saying, this is one of the reasons why I'm writing to you, to help you understand, are you really and truly knowing God? These things I've written unto you concerning them that seduce you. If we are knowing God, then we are going to be very aware and keen to those that are trying to take us away from the things of the Lord. The things that are take us away from God's plan for our life, take us away from God using our life. So that word seduce means to try to persuade, is to try to get you to go down a different path. And of course, we see that in Psalm. David warned against that as well. It says verse 27, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have the confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him." This is the test. This is how we know if we really, truly know and are knowing the Lord. Verse 28 uses that word, and it's used several times in the passage. I think it's very fitting. We must understand what the word abideth means. It means to dwell in, to continue, to stay in, or to rest in or rest upon him. It is being set and fixed and remaining and continuing in a fixed state, a fixed condition. It's being at home and settled in Christ. Now, to my knowledge, everyone in the room has a home, a house, a dwelling that you abide in. You are settled there. That's where you go and you will fix dinner and you take care of the place and you make memories there and you are comfortable there. You're settled there. Are you settled in Christ? I'm not saying a salvation. I'm saying, are you settled? Are you fixed? Is your mind and your eye fixed on the Lord and the things of the Lord? This is the question that we have to ask. We are to dwell in Christ, the kind of life that He is showing us how to live in His Word. That's where we take our comfort and our comfort zone in. Okay, let's do this. Let's look back on this last year in 2025. This is the end of the year. Let me ask you, do you know God more now than you did on whatever today is? What's today? The 29th? December 29th, 30th, whatever it is. In 2024, the same time last year. I'm not talking head knowledge, okay? I'm not saying, can you be in the Bible, and answer all the questions and all of the trivia. I'm not saying a head knowledge. I'm saying a head knowledge that translates into wisdom. Wisdom is not just knowledge for knowledge's sake. Wisdom is knowing how to take that knowledge, applying it, and then using it. This is the question. This is the culmination of us in this last probably 7 weeks or 6 weeks that we have been looking at the beginning of 1 John. This is the culmination of this. Am I not only answering all of the questions and the things that we looked at in chapter 1 and chapter 2, but am I settled and abiding in Christ? Well, here's a great question to add. How do I know I'm abiding in Christ? All right, let me give you some passages and things to think about. Abiding in Christ means that someone, that you or a person, confesses and admits that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He believes the love that God has shown him in Christ, and he loves God because what he has done for us. Pastor, where do you find that? 1 John chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. Turn the page. 1 John, we haven't got there in our study yet, but John answers that. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Someone that's abiding in Christ understands and admits the love of Christ and the love of God. The second thing that we can see in looking at, am I truly abiding in Christ, and what that means, is someone that's abiding in Christ is someone that walks in fellowships with the Lord. It's someone that sees the things of the Lord and says, I want to walk in this. I want to grow. I can tell you this because it happens every single year. By our choices and our actions, our decisions, it never fails. There are always Christians that have stopped walking with the Lord in the previous year, that have lessened their walk with the Lord, that have not made their walk with the Lord a priority any longer. And you know how I know that? Because you can see it in a life. You can see it in our lives when we do not... Yes, we know God loves us. Well, that's head knowledge. But if I truly know that God loves me, then I have a desire to want to please my God. But not only is it the love, it's the walk that God has for us. It's, am I truly walking with Him? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, turn the page back, chapter we're looking at. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. It is an action. So let me ask you, what do you want for your walk with God next year? Pastor, next year's that's a big number. I mean, you're talking 12 months, 365 days. Okay, let me ask it to you. Let me bring it way on down. Do you want to walk with God tomorrow? Because you will not be walking with God next year, 2025, the end of the year, 2026, if you're not walking with God tomorrow. It is a faithful, ongoing event. It's action. 1 John 2, verse 27, the verse we just read. But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, it is truth, it is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. Notice what John is saying. That is a command. Ye shall abide in Him. That abiding, that settledness, is what God commands us to do. Which goes back to the very first test that we look at. Do I obey God's commandments? Do I keep God's commandments? Abiding in Christ. It means that a person is walking with the Lord. A person is loving God and admits that God loves them. Abiding in Christ means that a person walks. You ready for this one? In open confession to God. I'm going to tell you something. That's not easy. Abiding in Christ means that we admit the truth about our life. And we say, God, will you please forgive me? It's interesting here. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that is exactly what John said in chapter 1. It's that we admit the truth, an open confession. Lord, I'm open and confessing to you that I need help in this. Lord, I failed you in this. Lord, please, I've done that again. Will you please? There's some that are completely oblivious and have no desire to even know what God says. And truly, I could even ask this, why do some Christians even go to church? Going to church isn't magically mean your life is going to improve and change and you're going to have a walk with the Lord. Buying a devotional book is not going to mean it's just going to magically have an impact in your life just because you have a devotional book, that you're not going to just wake up and be closer to God just because you own a devotional book. Praying for your meal is, listen folks, it's going to take effort. Walking with God, abiding in Him is a lifelong process. And if we choose to give up or slack off, then I will tell you, we are a target for Satan to come in our life. We will allow him to. We will let him so easily do that. Abiding in Christ means that a person continues in the Word of God in order to know the truth. Then said Jesus to Jews that which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In John chapter 8. This is all part and parcel of knowing God and answering that question, do I truly know God? But not only am I in the Word, I allow the Word to be in me. Abiding in Christ means I will let the Bible, I will let God's promises, I will let God's truth be in my life. Chapter 2 and verse 24 was our text, but chapter 2 and verse 14, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abideth in you. And you have overcome the wicked one. Can I tell you something? I want Central Baptist Church, this is pastor, this is a personal desire of mine. I want Central Baptist Church, I want the men of Central Baptist Church, I want the ladies, I want the teenagers, I want Central Baptist Church to be full of Christians that are not only in God's Word, but God's Word is in us. And it will not happen in 2026 until we make it happen. Until we move forward in it, until we say no to the world and no to my habit or no to my being desensitized, no to my complacency, and yes to walking with God so that He not only abides in us every day, but we abide in Him. And then we can truly start knowing God. Pastor, how do I know God? You'll know God when you start thinking like the Bible. When we start thinking like God's Word and we start applying God's Word to our life in our daily life. Abiding in Christ means a person will dwell in love to others. A person will bear fruit, have a fruitful life. Galatians chapter 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, against such there is no law. John 15, 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in Me and I in him, the same bringeth forth fruit. How much fruit? How much fruit? Much fruit. But can I tell you something that is so true in many Christians' lives is not only do we sometimes not have a desire to have much fruit, we sometimes don't have a desire to have any fruit. I want to tell you something. God's been working in my heart for this next year. I have no idea what this next year holds. But I can tell you this. My desire is for us to grow in Christ every step of the way. My desire is for this church, for your families, for your marriages, for your children to be stronger in the Lord and in the things of the Lord, growing all year long. And I want to tell you, and I want to warn us all of this, and I know this is a Wednesday night crowd. Pastor, there's not a lot of people here. I know, but this is who God wanted tonight. I want to warn you, anytime we start growing with the Lord and walking with the Lord, Satan's going to want to try to interrupt it every step of the way. Abiding in Christ. There's a purpose in that. And that purpose is so that we have confidence in Him. I didn't read the letter. I might read it next week, but just read the prayer letter from the Kamilchus, our missionaries in Russia, and how their ministry now is growing in the category of helping soldiers that have returned home or are returning home from the battle that's going on. And it is an unbelievable undertaking. In previous letters, he said that there's some that just they don't even want to be with their family anymore. They have no idea how to acclimate back into civilian life. Hey, we are blessed right here in the United States and in Greene County. But can I tell you what is also scary? Not only are the Kamilchus working in a unique category with people in the church and the people in their community, but can I tell you something else that's even more discouraging? As he said in this prayer letter, the number of pastors that have left the country and just up and left their church high and dry. For different reasons, fear, protection of their own family. I don't know those old stories, but he said, I do know there are many churches and there are many Christians that are without leadership. There are many flocks without a shepherd. Folks, if we can get in our mind the importance of being in the Word and the Word being in us, it will then start to reveal, God will then start to reveal how our walk will become more like Him. Our desires will become more like His desires. The will of our life will become more what He wants for our life. And we will start having a confidence in Christ that otherwise would have never understood. There's a confidence that takes place when we abide in Him. Where is that confidence, Pastor? How do we know what that confidence is? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according as he hath done, whether it be good or bad. I can tell you this, whenever we're abiding in the Lord, all of a sudden meeting God at the end of our life doesn't scare us near as badly. We won't be embarrassed because we failed God again. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing at His kingdom. 1 Peter 1:17, and if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. There's a confidence that we can have in Christ whenever we know Him and we are abiding in Him. What is that confidence? It's interesting. Look at verse 28 as he closes out this chapter. Again, it wasn't chapter whenever he wrote it, but for us. And now, little children. Isn't that interesting? Isn't it interesting that right here in the middle of all that's going on, he calls us little children? It's also interesting. In verse 18, he also says the exact same thing. Little children. Why is that? Because we are to be dependent upon our Heavenly Father. We are to be growing in our Heavenly Father. And he says, verse 28, now little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have the confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Here's the hard part about something that we cannot see yet and we're not there yet. It's hard for us to put a focus on that because we're so concerned about things that's going on right here and here now. You know how I know that? Let me see everyone's retirement accounts right now and let's see what your focus is. I mean for real. Sometimes we, you know, financially, it's hard for us to put back to saving and what's going to be down the road and putting some in a savings account. Why? Because we're focused on paying the bills now. We're focused on the things that's going on now in our life. But down the road, we're going to sure wish, man, if I could only go back to when I was 20 years old and put in some money every day, every week and try to help get a little bit of some for retirement. Okay, so it is in our walk with the Lord. When we are investing in eternity and things of heaven, it is a wonderful thing. So when our life, if we could live our life saying, one day I'm going to meet Christ, I'm going to stand before God and give an account of my life, every choice I make, the faithfulness or lack of that I've lived. And what does he say there in verse 28? That we may have confidence and not be, what's that word? Ashamed. He's talking to Christians. Well, Pastor, I'm not worried about that right now. I'll deal with that down the road. We have got to get in our mind what we do now impacts what happens down the road. Am I abiding in Him now so that I will have confidence down here? Am I learning who God is and growing in God and knowing who God is and knowing what God's plan and will for my life is now so that I won't be ashamed down here and I will walk with Him every step of the way? Confidence, that means a boldness and an assurance. An assurance, an unshakable assurance. An unshakable boldness. If we are abiding in Christ now, today, and tomorrow, we will have that confidence in Christ until He returns. That word ashamed means to shrink back. It means to sense guilt, disgrace, embarrassment. Acts 17:31, because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, and that He hath raised Him from the dead. Folks, tonight, as we are finishing up the last test of do I know God? Do I truly know Him? Can you answer yes to the question, am I abiding in Him? If we're honest with ourselves, we would all probably say, Pastor, I fail, I do good, and I fail again, I do good, and I fail again. Can I encourage us all in something? Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't quit. Don't give up. Remove the stumbling blocks. Remove the bump, the speed bumps, the things that will hinder your walk and hinder your growth in Christ. Don't quit. A person who lives a life pleasing to God is a person who truly knows God.